Wait.
Good evening. Tonight, Shir, we're going to look at the ninth principle, Yisod HaTshi. Now, where we already saw that the seventh principle was Moshe Rabbeinu, the uniqueness of Moshe, was written with the awareness that Islam, that, you know, denies that principle and says that Muhammad was greater than Moshe, was like lurking in the background. Here, there of course is, besides the truth of the principle per se, a definite anti-Christian polemical intent. So let's see. Yisod HaTshi'i HaBitul. Right? In other words, here it means that there will never be a bitul of the Torah. Rambam writes, V'ushazu Toras Moshe lo tibotel. This law will last forever. V'lo tovo Torah me'es Hashem zulasa. There will never be another law. Lo yitosav bav, lo yigora mimeno, lo bekosuv, v'lo beperush. Amar, v'lo tosev alav, v'lo sigra mimeno. So first of all, parenthetically, whereas in the Sifri, you know, in the Gemara, the assumption is that Baltosiv, Baltog, Tigra are very technical issues, right? In other words, when you have a mitzvah object with a certain amount of components, you are not allowed to add another component. So, for example, Lulav is Arba Minim, right? Lulav, Esrog, Hadassim, and Aravos. So, if somebody would say, have Lulav, Esrog, Hadassim, Aravos, and a grapefruit, that would be Baltosiv. And if you just have Lulav, Hadassim and Aravos, that's Baltigra. But the Rambam is saying, but it also is a very fundamental idea of Baltosiv, Baltigra, which goes beyond that, not just technically within a mitzvah, that there are no more mitzvahs. 613, no more and no less, and there never will be more and there never will be less. So that's an important point there. Then he writes, of course, the Ram also says we certainly accept the notion of rabbinic decrees. But the Ram is very careful to stress over and again, different areas, rabbinic decrees have to be recognized as such, as rabbinic decrees. It is wrong, it might even be Baltosif, to claim that a rabbinic decree is a biblical decree. Okay, we'll discuss that in a second. First, I just want to discuss where the Rambam has this general idea of Baltosif Baltigra in the context of the ninth Ikar in Mishnah Torah as well. This is all the way at the end in Hilchos Melachim, which is the last of the subdivisions of Sefer Shoftim, which is the last of the 14 books of the Mishnah Torah. Now, Sefer Shoftim deals some side topics, but certainly with Jewish leaders. You have Hilchos Sanhedrin, a Jewish court. The full rubric is Hilchos Sanhedrin va'onshin amsurim lohem. Then you have Hilchos Edus, Hilchos Mamrim, those that defy the Sanhedrin. Hilchos Evel, topic for another shir, that is probably the most problematic case of placement of the Rambam, right? But he has his reasons why he put Hilchos Avelus there. And finally, the full rubric is Hilchos Melachim u'Milchamo Sehem, laws of kings and their wars. And the last two prakim deal with Melech HaMashiach. Here, of course, it's very important to get a correct text of the Rambam, because the standard Warsaw Vilna text of the last two prakim are missing a lot because of the censorship. So let me read to you from Perikit Aleph Halacha Gimel. He discussed a little bit of Mashiach. We're not going to deal with that now. We'll wait for a subsequent discussion of that when we get to the 12th Ikar. But I want to read the part within Hilchos Melachim Perikit Aleph Halacha Gimel where he discusses this idea of Baltosif and Baltigra. He says, Balyala daitcha shehamelech haMashiach tzarech lasos osos u'movsin. Mashiach is not going to produce any miracles, machadish dvarim ba'olom, machayim mesim, kayotzi dvarim ha'elu, ein hadavar kach. That's not true. Sharei, Rabbi Kiva Chacham Gadol Michachmei Mishnah Haya. He was a great, one of the greatest Tanoim. Vuhaya Nosei Chelov Shel Ben Kuziva Hamelach. Ben Kuziva, of course, is Bar Kochva. Vuhaya Omer Allah Shu Hamelach HaMashiach. He thought and said that Bar Kochva was Mashiach. V'dima hu, that's V'dima, Rabbi used elsewhere, means it was in his imagination, but unfortunately it turned out to be wrong. V'dima hu v'chol chachmei doro shehu ha-melech ha-mashiach ad she-nerag ba-avonos. Right, once he was killed, so he died, no such thing as a dead Mashiach. Kevan she-nerag noda lahem she-eino. It emerged that he was never the Mashiach. But meanwhile, before that, before it emerged that Bar Kochva was that Rabbi Kiva was sadly mistaken, Bar Kochva was not Mashiach. Rabbi Kiva didn't demand that Bar Kochva perform miracles. Lo shalu mimenu chachamim lo os v'lo mofes. By the way, again, you see from the Rambam, the point is nobody is perfect. Right? Even Rabbi Kiva made a mistake. Well, we use our judgment to hopefully God's help will be able to ascertain the true Mashiach. By the way, it's a famous story of Reb Chaim Brisk. The story goes as follows. There once was a non-Jewish missionary who, you know, was trying to convince the Jews to believe in Jesus. And so, well, you know, the response of the kids was, well, listen, our rabbi said, he was wrong. So apparently the missionary, I hope I'm saying the story correctly, even if it's not 100%, we'll get the point. The missionary said, well, you know, your great rabbi Akiva thought that Bar Kochva was Mashiach, so he was wrong. So your rabbis were wrong. So just like your rabbis was wrong that Bar Kochva was the Mashiach, maybe your rabbis were wrong in thinking that Jesus was not the Mashiach. Okay, so the story, the way I heard it, Reb Chaim of Brisk said, how do you know? How do you know Bar Kochva was not the Mashiach? Maybe he was. So eventually the person said, well, you know, he got killed. That's the point.
Right.
Okay. So, but I want to make another comment on all this. You know, some people tell this story over and stop here. I think that's how Rav Shlomo Yosef Zevin in Ishim Rishitos presents it. So the point, okay, but the point is, you put this together with the Rambam that nobody is perfect. Only God is perfect. The greatest of all the Tanan, Rabbi Akiva, he made a mistake. It was in good faith. But then some people add, how could Rabbi Akiva make a mistake? He was the, you know, the God of Ladar, but no, it was due to the chatoim of the am, of the populace, the non-chachamim, that Rabbi Kiva turned out not to be Mashiach. But really, Rabbi Kiva was perfect. That's not the pshat of the story, especially if you understand that the reason why, following the Yishalmi, some of the sources, is that if Bar Kochva caused the death of Rabbi Elazar HaModai, and that was a bad act, that certainly disqualified Bar Kochva to be Mashiach. Okay, so in other words, even a story, you could say it in the right way, or you could say it in a way, you know, with an agenda. So here, lechora, the point here is that as great as Rabbi Kiva was, he had made a mistake. And Mr. Shem, we all pray to God that eventually the real Mashiach will appear. Now let's go on to Rambam. The Ikar Advarim Kochahim, Shatora Hasos, Chukeho Umishboteho, La'olam Ulalmei Olamim. Remember, nothing new is going to happen when Mashiach comes. So you read this, you understand the whole point of Christianity is to say that, well, you know, when the point of them, you know, Jesus the Messiah arrived, there you no longer have to observe the law. You move on. You know, Ein lecha bal tigra gadol mizu. You no longer have to observe the law. You have now the period of love. Right? And then certainly, you know, when Paul went on, said, be circumcised in your heart, etc., etc. That's why the Raman writes, so, in other words, Baal Tosef and Baal Tigra is also to tell you that nothing will change, even Yemos HaMashiach. So that, of course, thwarts the possibility of Christianity, you know, as constituted. So not only are the theological bases of Christianity against Ikar number two, right? We say the God that is one. They have the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Also, it's against Ikar number three, that the God that is holy and corporeal, and they have, you know, God walked, became manifest in Jesus. But even besides that, let's say someone says, listen, I'm not a theologian. I don't know anything about God. I don't understand that. But even on this, you can call it like a micro level, instead of a macro level. Call the macro level issues of, you know, the theological nature of God. That's the macro. The micro would be simply mitzvos. Well, it is against an Ikar Judaism to claim that it will come a period of time when the mitzvos will no longer be in effect, because that is the ultimate meaning of the term Baal Tosef and Baal Tigra, which would be the case here. Okay, let me add one other point, and then really we could even go on. Now the Rambam, you have to see in different... second. We have the old edition, like the green edition of the Rambam. Has Sefer Mitzvot that have Sefer? I don't know if that's Sefer Mada too. Let's find out. There's only Sefer Mitzvot. Okay, 1 second. Yes, we have it here. Great. The Rambam has, the Rambam wrote a book, Sefer Mitzvos. And the Rambam also, in the beginning of Mishnah Torah, had a very small, like a extremely condensed version called Minyan HaMitzvos. It just counts up the 613 mitzvos. Remember, according to the Rambam, as explained in the Mor Nevuchim, these are the mitzvos which explain the most perfect organization of human society possible. The organization of human society is good for the body and good for the soul, i.e. the intellect. So he's very insistent on counting up the mitzvot in proper fashion. But the Rambam has a small point about Dinei Derabbanan right before he begins Mishnah Torah. In the old, that's what I'm familiar with, the old Warsaw Vilna edition of the Mishnah Torah. It's right before he begins it with the Sefer Mada. I'll read from this version. Elu hein tariyak hamitzvot shenemru lo lemoshe b'sinai hein klaloseyen apratoseyen dikdokeyen kol oson haklalos v'apratos v'adikdukin v'abiyurin shel kol mitzvah mitzvah hi tor shebal peh shekivu bezim mipi bezim. So some of this last evening, right? Tor shebal peh is how you make a sukkah, how you make the tzitzis, how you make tefillin. Then he goes on. V'yesh mitzvot acheros shenischadshu achar matan Torah v'kavu oson neviim v'chachamim u'pashtu b'chol Yisrael tigon mikra Megillah v'ner Chanukah v'tanis Tisha B'Av v'erevin v'yodayim v'yesh l'chol mitzvah u'mitzvah me'elu perushim v'kduken v'kol Yisbar b'chivu zeh. He says in my book Mishnah Torah, I'm not just going to talk about the Daraisas, the 613 mitzvos, I'm even going to talk about the rabbinic mitzvos. Now, the question now is obvious. I thought we just said, right, Baal Tosef and Baal Tigra. You can't add, you can't subtract. So how can a person dare perform these mitzvos? So first of all, he says, listen, you have to do them. Kol elo mitzvos shenischadshu chayavon onu lekablon leshomron shenemar losasa min adavar v'shgidacha yimin esmal. In other words, you have to listen to the rabbis of every generation, and they say You have to do this also. But that doesn't answer the question. That just sharpens the contradiction. There seems to be a contradiction between lo sosifun, right, lo sigrum imenu, don't add or subtract, and the Rambam is insistent. That means forever don't add or subtract. And on the other hand, you have to listen to what the rabbis say. And here, it just does mean when the rabbis interpret the existing mitzvos, it means they are even adding it. It's one thing to say, you have a machlokes, we don't know how to put on tefillin. So Chazal say, tefillin is for batim, you know, kaddish, v'viyacha, shema, v'shemoa, and that's it. So look what the Rambam writes. He's aware of the problem. The einan tosefes al mitzvos ha-Torah. It's not. Why not? Valma his iru Torah lo sosef olav lo sigram imenu. So we're waiting for the answer. No. What's wrong is to make it a category mistake. Shelo yehe novi rashai lechadesh dover velomar shakadosh baruch hu tivohu b'mitzvah zu lehosif ala mitzvos ha-Torah o lechaser achas mi'elu hashesh meyos u'shlosh esrei mitzvos. In other words, the prophet would claim, well, 613 was for the previous generations. Now, we want to add some more. Now, I received a overflow from God that we have to have 614, 615, etc. But, if you say explicitly, what I am telling you to do has nothing to do with Torah. I just feel as a, you know, rabbinic slash social leader, that we have to add something now, right? Like Megillah, Chanukah, Tisha B'Av, Erev, and Yodayim. That's fine. Avum Hosifu Beis Din Im Navi. Sheyab also Azman Mitzvah Derech Takana, O Derech Hora'ah. Especially what he means here by Hora'ah, though some interpret using the when I'm going to skip that during discussion for another issue, and I'm still close to Rabbanon. O derech gzera, ein zu tosefes. Right? Because they're not saying there is a 614th divine commandment. They're saying we, 1,000 years later, want to commemorate Mikra Megillah by doing it. Let's just finish the paragraph, then we'll discuss it at length. Shrei lo amru shakadosh baruch hu tziva lasos eruv alikros hamagila ba'onasa. The ilu amru kain, they're in trouble. Hoyu mosifin al ha-Torah. Elakach ana omrim. Shenaviyim im beizdin tiknu v'tzivo likros hamagila ba'onasa. Kedei lahazkir shvachav shel ha-kadosh baruch hu useshuol she'asa lanu v'yakarov l'shavoseinu. In other words, the Nevi'im now want to make a takana, make an enactment, that we should read the Megillah to remind ourselves, right, of the praises of God, that God saved us. Kedei levarcho lahallo, kedei lodila doras habayim, she'emes mashav tachtona b'torah, kimi goy godel ashalo elokim. Well, derech zui kol mitzvah mitzvah shimidrevei sofrim bein asei bein los asei. So it's amazing. Now, at a pointer,
isn't the only problem that he calls it mitzvahs?
Okay, so what? But okay, hang on.
That's a technical.
Exactly. Commit right. There is a divine command. Okay, I'll say something in a minute, but it's called mitzvah shenis kachu. They are more commands. The question is, who is the commander? Right? So you're already putting into it that mitzvah means divine mitzvah. There's mitzvahs derabbanon. Right? Those are rabbinic
the rabbis
commands.
Don't command us. He commands us. And the rabbis build the fences, give us new aitzes, or tell us new things to do. We have to do them.
Okay,
the system requires.
Good, hang on.
Qua mitzvah.
You're not calling. I think there's certainly many places where it's called mitzvos d'rabbanon. You have mitzvos d'rabbanon, sure.
It was like an oxymoron. It doesn't really make sense to call it.
It only doesn't make sense if you are demanding that the word mitzvah means araisa. So just drop that. It's okay. In other words, there are 613 divine commands. Then there are later rabbinic commands. Many other sources, Bahag, Ramhi quotes five, Hag talks about Sheva Mitzvos Derabbanan. Right? The Hag actually has, he counts in his Sefer Mitzvos, he counts the Sefer, he counts the seven Mitzvos Derabbanan. That's the word. So I'm explaining 613 plus 7 is 620. Ketzer, the Rambam gets very angry. The first point in Sefer HaMitzvos is you should only count Daraisa Mitzvos and not Rabbanan Mitzvos. But all that shows, the word mitzvah, no one seems to be bothered by the use of mitzvah in either sense. But we understand the point. There are 613 biblical mitzvos, and then there are later subsequent rabbinic mitzvos, but you have to make darn sure that you never ever say that this is what God is commanding, right? It's what we are doing. But here I heard something many, many years ago in the name of Rabbi Schneer Cutler, the Baron Cutler's son. But you know, the end, was he quoting? The Rambam could have stopped a few lines before he did. Why does he quote the Psukim? What's all that about? I'll come to that in a minute. Yeah.
I want to say a bracha before reading the Megillah.
Oh, yeah. Shake and shut. Oh, very good. Right. So the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos, Perek Barim Madlikin, says Heichad Tzivanu. So it says Lo Sasur. And then it says, God told us, you're right, that Tzivanu, according to the Gemara, does not mean that Tzivanu of the specific mitzvah of Megillah or Ner Chanukah for that, right? Heichon Tzivanu, v'sasu min ha-davar. God told us to listen to the Chazal, and Chazal made an enactment.
He commanded us
two steps
to listen to the rabbis, right, who were commanding us to do
it. Right, exactly. So I believe that Rav Schneer Cutler suggested that even these last few lines might bespeak another limitation of what Chazal do. In other words, even we say, and the Rambam is saying, they have the right to make rabbinic enactments as long as they make it clear that they're only rabbinic and not biblical. But even when they make a rabbinic enactment, it should be, to use the Brisker phrase, should have a kiyum d'oraisa. In other words, it's not that they're inventing a totally new category. There is a biblical category, right? So we have, for example, according to the Rambam, tefillah is d'oraisa. Prayer is biblical. You know, we're thanking God. So, k'dei levarach ol halalo. So when Chazal made the rabbinic rule of Megillah, and they could do as long as they say it's rabbinic, but it also has to be an instantiation of some biblical concept, and that biblical concept is k'dei levarach ol halalo, to bless and praise God. Gedram actually happens to hold that halal on the 18 days of the festivals is only midrabanan, but the Rambam certainly has the idea of prayer. The Rambam certainly has the idea, the Rambam certainly has the idea of thanking God, because of Muzzon. So that's another interesting limitation. So if you follow that, now this is,
is that widely understood? Or is that just like a
this I heard many, many years ago from the name of Schneer Cutler. I believe that the Rambam said something similar, but I don't want to cite him exactly. That there has to be a kima that. So that's a further limitation. In other words, you take all the, what you'd have to do is take all the mitzvos to Rabbanon, such as, okay, so we understand like Tisha B'Av. So there is an idea, midaraisa, of, when you're in pain, crying out to God, right? So the tainus of Tisha B'Av is that type. And you would say there are dinim of Tumah V'Tahara D'Oraisa, so we expand it with the din Rabbanon of Netilas Yodayim.
No. Or
okay, so Ner Chanukah, I don't want to quote the Ramban in Baloscha. I would say also Ner Chanukah, also the idea of expressing, Pirsume Nisa. Chassam Sofer says, even according to the Rambam, that says that the Yud, that the standard days of, let's say, Sukkot, which we say Hallel, it's only drabanan. The days of Pisume Nisa, that's the Raisa. That's a biblical concept. In other words, it's a rabbinic example, right? And the Chiyuv is only midrabanan. The obligation is rabbinic. But the idea that we are fulfilling with this rabbinic enactment is in some measure a biblical idea.
But it's also defining the instituted
Right. Right.
Okay.
Right.
That's the
right.
Physical
right. Right.
Form.
That's the Maisa HaMitzvah. That's the very formal. Exactly. That's the very formal ritual with all its rules, regulations, and parameters and boundaries.
But we have a complete religion before the rabbis.
Right. 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 Right.
So we don't. So we already have praise. We already
right.
have this. We already have Sheva.
Right.
We already have Shumim.
Right.
So what?
Okay. Okay. So that's it. You know, that's something else. That Chazal. But no. So you should like this further limitation. In other words, it's not saying that we're making a totally new concept. Like, you know, trees. So, you know, whatever.
Right, but it's defining it down so much. It's so parov that it can fit into anything.
Oh well, okay.
Here, light the menorah.
Yeah.
You're not really lighting menorah.
No.
I will,
all the respect. I'll dispute that. No, it's a formal act. The act is lighting the menorah. You have all these rules of kafs of zokik law, kafs of ena zokik law, all the rules of the second parak of Shabbos with the oil and the wick and the psil and the shmonim, right? So it has its formal rules. Okay, so the two ways could go. And certainly, we are not saying that the rabbis had no right to say that God demanded it. That's a lie. That's a horrible thing. After this, I'll quote the Rambam by Baal Tosef. But so either you could stop here, or if you want to understand what's going on, you might want to say a further limitation. But I understand this as a limitation. In other words, they only have the right to compose a new institutions when there would be some way in which the institutions, even if it's vague, but in some way which in the institutions could be seen as a fulfillment of an already pre-existing biblical concept. So it's like an expansion, not an invention. Let's put it that way. There's expansion. You know, this comes up. This, by the way, exists also even when you have a din derabanan, and sometimes a minhag expands a din a derabanan. Sometimes it's a totally new minhag, which is a totally new invention. So I'm bringing it back here. The derabanan here, there is some biblical notion, and this is also a new instance of it.
So the kiyum
is the raisa.
It has to be pegged in.
The deraisa.
The maaser
is derabanan.
But that's an invention.
Right, exactly.
It's a complete invention.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So I'm saying you could have said, had you not had these four lines, you could have said the power is even more. The mice is an invention, the whole concept is an invention. So I'm, based on what Rav Shneur Kotler said, these last lines, but he should have stopped with saying, "Betzivu likros hamagila ba'onasa." And that's it. We get the point, right? He says, "Avim Hosifu Beisidim Navi Sheyia Bosos Man Mitzvah Derech Takara Derech Horah Derech." There ends the Tosefes. Shrei Lo Amar Shekadosh Baruch Hu Tziva Lasos Eru Likros Amgilah Bonasa Yilayim Kain. That's bad. Hayim Hosifin Al Torah El Kach Ano Omrim Shenavim Beis and Tikdam Tziva Likros Amgilah Bonasa. Stop. Then he goes on. Kedei Lahazki Shavachav Shekadosh Baruch Hu Zeshua Shasalano By Karv Lav Sheinu. In other words, it's to strengthen the idea what it says in the Torah, right, that our relationship with God. Well, Derech Zui goes on, he called mitzvah mitzvah. Okay, so it comes out we have two. Either they could do something totally new, just don't mention it's the Raisa, or according to this interpretation, the Maisa is new, but there still would be a Kiyum in the Torah. Let me just add, you have this good example, famous Machlokas about Halal on Rosh Chodesh. So, the Rambam here actually says, you cannot... you do not make brachah and challah on Rosh Chodesh. Rabbeinu Tam says you do make a brachah and challah on Rosh Chodesh. So the question is, challah Rosh Chodesh is only a minhag. It's not even the Din Rabbanan of the 18 days. 18 days, which we say Hala Mikra Din, 21 in 18 days in Israel, 21 days in Chutz Laaretz. So the mnemonic is Babetach. I learned that as a kid. 2 days, first 2 days of Pesach, first 2 days of Shavuos, 9 days of Sukkot, including Shmini Atzeres and Simchas Torah, and 8 days of Chanukah, 21. Okay, Rosh Chodesh is not there. Rosh Chodesh to Gemara, it's only a minhag. But do you say a bracha? So Rabbeinu Tam says you do. Okay, the Rambam disputes that. But the question is, the paradigm of a minhag, you don't make a bracha on Chivud Arava, right? When you knock the Hoshanos, right? There's no bracha. That's a fact. There's no bracha on that. So Tosus Reed gives an answer, which I will define as extension versus invention. Same idea. In other words, Hallel, which is on another level, Hallel is a formal rule. You make a bracha on Hallel. Ramban says it's the Raisa. The Ram actually happens to say it's Rabbanan, but it's there already. So the minhag is only to extend it. So then you make a bracha also. Chivud Arava, there is no other, there's no institution of Chivud Arava. So when that was invented, that's a new idea. And that new idea, you don't make a bracha. In other words, the minhag, the type of minhag that you don't make a bracha on, is that new idea, such as Chivud Arava, as opposed to Hala. So just similar back here. In other words, here, according to the second interpretation, the Din Derabanan is in a certain sense still a total, you're adding something new, but it's an expansion of an idea that already was before. Okay, now one more thing. Let's now go to when the rabbi talks about Baal Tosif. So let's see if I can find it. Ram writes, Ram writes in Hilchos Mamrin, also the issue of Baal Tosif and Baal Tigra. Ram has, forget about, he also puts Hilchos Mamrin, Ben Sora Mora, and also not to curse or hit your parents. But before that, he has four main mitzvahs. Lasos of Piatorish Amr Lanu, based in Agadol, do what they say. Shalom Lassum Divrehem. Shlo lehosif ala Torah, lo b'mitzvah shebichsav, lo b'feirush shalmanu piyashmua, then shlo legroa min hakol. So, the Rambam then gets into the discussion of all the different mitzvos. And yeah, Ram writes Hilchos Mamrin Perik Beis Lacha Tes, the same question. Again, you can tell he's trying to just formulate perfectly what's good and what's not good. Because according to the Rambam, since the Torah is like Miksha Achas, it is the most perfect plan of organization for human beings, right? Of course you can't add. So Hov Yesh L'Beis L'Ligzor V'Lesor Dover Amut of Yam Nisur L'Doros, and he's saying you can't do that. V'chein yesh lam lahatir yisurei Torah lefi shah, that's another discussion. Mazesh is here a Torah lo so safe a love lo sigur mimenu. Right? Shalo lahosif al divrei Torah. V'lo ligro mehem. V'likboa hadavar la olam. V'davar shehu min haTorah. Bein v'torah shebachsav. Bein v'torah shebal peh. Right? In other words, the key word here is v'likvoa hadavar la'olam bedavar shehu min haTorah. Again, you can't say that these enactments are biblical. Then the Rambam goes on. You should not even, if you as a Jew do something which is biblical, and you do other things which are rabbinic, you should know what is biblical and what is rabbinic. Listen to this. Ketzad. Harikazav b'Torah. Los Vashel Gadi Bachalev Imo. That's stage one. What do Chazal tell us? First, they explain what it means. In Pi Hashmua Lamdu, Shazeh HaKosuv Asa Levashel V'lechol Basar V'cholot. Right? You can't cook it and can't eat it. Which animals? Bain Basar Behema, Bain Basar Chaya. Basar Chaya actually might be a contradiction of other Rambam's, but we're reading what he says here. Aval Basar Ha'of Mutar B'cholot Mina Torah. Mida Araisa, you're allowed to boil a chicken in milk. Now, Im Yavo Beis Din, V'yatir Basar Chaya B'cholot, right? If they would say that there's no Issa D'Raisa of Chaya, right? Olders is Behema, assuming that Chaya is Ben HaTorah. Hariza Goreya, he's over Baltigra. Vim Yeso B'Sara Ov Yomashu B'Chlal Hagdi, for Asa Min HaTorah Hariza Mosif. Look at that. It's an amazing idea. You are not allowed to say that something, well, Bezit, we shouldn't even do it. I'm saying if Bezit would formally declare that Basar Ope is Min HaTorah, they will be over Baltosif. Aval, what you should do, Im Amar Basar Ope Mutar Min HaTorah, the Anu Nesar Oso, the Nodia La'am Shugzeira Shlo Yava Min HaDavar Chova V'Yomru Ope Mutar V'Pnei Shlo Nisparish Kach HaChai Mutar Shlo Nisparsha. Right, no, like this. You tell people, look, Midaraisa, you can have a chicken with milk. But so if you were not prohibited, people would be wise guys and say, well, you know, maybe Lo Special Gadi only means behemos and not chayos, right? Like deer or something like that. Right? And that actually is usur. So you come to make a mistake. Then another wise guy will say, you know what? Maybe it's only Gadi, not any other animal. But you have a acher lomar, af besar behema muteres, chutz mina eitz. You have a acher lomar, you know what? Maybe it's only goat meat with goat milk. Cow's milk will be fine. Af besar eitz mutar b'chalev pora or a kivsa. Shalom nemar ela imo shehimut mino. And someone else would say, you know what? I think the pshat in the pasuk is it's only the mother, exactly, literally. Lo sevashel gedi, right? Bichalev of the mother of that gedi. So you have the three billy goat gruffs. So you have the gedi, and then you have the mother. It's not in the story, but it will be dafka lo sevashel gedi bichalev imo. Apachalev ha'esh ena imo mutar. Shlo nemar ela imo. So that's why. Lefikach, Nesar kol basar b'cholav, afilu basar ov. That's not baltosif. That is doing what Chazal are supposed to do. Ein zeh mosif, ela oseh siyag latorah. Oh. V'chein kol kayotze bozer. Okay. Beautiful. I will tell you, that concludes this part. I just will tell you there's a big, big discussion in the Rambam, because in Hilchos Bacholos Asuros, he says that Psar Chaya is only Asur Midivrei Sofrim. A lot of the whole question what the right interpretation of the Rambam is, might very well be that when he says b'chein b'sar chaya, the oaf bein is not also in the Torah, the period is wrong. In the previous halach, he was saying what is also in the Torah, and should say b'chein b'sar chaya, period, meaning it's also in the Torah. Okay, that's a hilchos b'chos asuros shir. But in any event, the Rambam is clear what he says here. And he explains it very, very beautifully. Okay. So you know what? I think we have a little time. We could even do Yisod HaAsiri. Okay. Sada Siri, he moves from issues of the Torah. In other words, 6, 7, 8, 9 is like one group. 6 is prophecy. 7 is the uniqueness of Moses' prophecy. 8 is the Torah that Moshe apprehended. And 9 is the idea that the Torah is forever. Now, 10 and 11 deal with God's relationship with the world. Hayesod ha'asiri, shehu yisala yodea ma'asei b'nei adam, v'lo hizniham, v'lo kedas ha'omer azav Hashem es ha'aretz. In other words, God has, again, obviously, you can't compare it to human, but God has something in him which we call knowledge. And it's not like a human being's where, you know, the mind is obviously intimately connected with the brain, so it, you know, which is obviously a physical existence. God's knowledge, Ram says, is inseparable from God. Remember, it's kulo echad. We can't even conceive of that. But God knows ma'aseh b'nei adam. Ella, Ram says, v'lo kadas omer zav Hashem es ha'aretz, ella k'mo she'amar, gadol ha'etzav rav halila sherinecha p'kuchos al kol darchei b'nei ha'adam. You, God, knows the actions of human beings. And here, the Ram quotes a pasuk. We obviously not going to take the part that relates to senses literally, but the content we will. For Amar, Bayar Hashem ki rabo ra'as ha'adam ba'aretz. Right, the end of Sefer Bereishis. And then for Amar, Za'akas Sodom va'amora ki rabo hare'elu morim al yasod ha'asiri hazeh. God knows the actions of human beings. So the deism, the idea that was in the many things, 17th, early 18th century, Thomas Jefferson might have been a deist, that's not our religion. Now, the idea of the knowledge of God, of course, pertains to the issue of free choice. So, let me just discuss a little bit the Rambam here. The Rambam does not, the question could be divided into several components. There's one issue to claim that God sees, anthropomorphic, but God knows what is going on here on earth. Then there's another claim that God, since God is beyond time, God knows what each and every one of us will do in our lifetimes. God knows whether or not we're going to go to that Posox game, right, in Potaki. God knows. We all know. But God knows.
I said the same thing yesterday. Only God knows here if we're going
to go to that. Okay, very good. But if God knows, now it's also axiomatic that God can never be wrong. Right? And then it's also axiomatic that knowledge, and this is a very important point that Ralbach makes, does not mean opinion, does not mean expert opinion, does not mean high statistical probability that, you know, I've been studying stocks for 20 years and I know, you know, things are going down. It means knowledge. Knowledge is not 99%, knowledge is 100%. Let's just get that
perfect.
Right, perfect knowledge. So if God knows what is going to happen, how can we have free choice to do otherwise? Okay. So, there are basically, among Rishonim, there are four basic answers. So, I'm just going to present them and then end with the Rambam. Psajigon, and look at classic surveys of medieval Jewish philosophy, you'll see, I think, Professor Wilson said, or any other answer really will have to eventually reduce to one of these four. Okay. But Sajigon says as follows. Yes, God knows what will happen, but his knowledge is not causative. What does that mean? So there's a parish relay emuna on emunas fideos. So he gives an example with like, I think like, who's good in time of horse and buggy, we're going to update it. Imagine you're on the top of a hill and you see two horse and buggies. One is going this way, one's going that way in the same road. You know they are going to collide. You know it, right? You're not causing it, okay, but you know it. God, again, with his perfect knowledge, sees, and the perfect expression, knows what will happen, but he is not causing it. The decisions that lead to what happened are our own. Okay, that's answer number one. Rambam does not accept that answer. Rambam feels that it's even a category mistake comparing God's knowledge to any human's knowledge. And so the Rambam makes another move. The Rambam says the reason why there's no contradiction between God's foreknowledge and human free will, like the Hymenos just like to say free choice, because that's how they talk about Bechira. Not discussing the internal faculties. We want to know the Maisa. Can a person will to do something and not to do something? In any event, God's knowledge is inseparable from Him. Right? There's us, and then our knowledge. Remember, Rambam is Kulo Echad. God is Kulo Echad. That's Ikar Hasheni. So therefore, God's knowledge can't be separated from Him. We can even conceal that. He is His knowledge also. So therefore, just like we have no way of understanding God, we have no way of understanding His knowledge. So it's a categorical mistake to say there's necessarily a problem in the first place. We don't understand God's knowledge. We do, however, assert that the Torah says people have free choice, ubacharto b'chayim, therefore, and what it says in the Torah is true, and therefore God's knowledge is not incompatible with human free choice. Here, parenthetically, Professor Shai Leibowitz gave a very interesting answer to an interesting question. He says, by the way, the Rambam is so insistent on free choice, free will as a principle of Judaism, why doesn't he count it as an Ikar? Why doesn't he say, an Ikar is that people have Bechira Chavshis? So I love his answer. There are some answers that say, well, we'll see with God's help tomorrow night. Maybe it can be subsumed on one of the other Ikarim, Schar Onish, things like that. Because if you don't have free choice, it would be unfair to punish you, right, or reward you. And Shai Leibowitz said like this. He said, the 13 Ikarim are propositions about God. They're not propositions about people. Get off your anthropocentrism. I love that, the terrorist. These Ikarim about God. The fact that free will is so important is not germane to the Ikarim.
It's page 87.
What?
It's page 87.
Okay, very good. Okay. It's in the faith. It's in the faith of Maimonides. Yeah. Okay. Now, let's go back here. Of course, there are two other terutzim, both extremely radical, but they are the other possibilities. The Ralbag, where Levi Ben Gershon says that God does not know individual future contingents. In other words, he says, you're right, God knows all the possibilities that could happen, but he does not know whether or not we will go to the ball game on Sunday. And the Ralbag says, in his Perush al Torah, the Ralbag, as opposed to the Rambam, whoever understands the Rambam, everyone has to agree that the Rambam was not as explicit in certain things in Mishnah Torah as he was in Mor Nebuchim. Again, I still put all the Rambams together, but that's only true. The Ralbag, on the other hand, will say the most extreme, radical positions in his Perush al Torah. And in the Ralbag, in Parshas Vayera, he says, this is the answer to the question about the Akedah. Right? When Rabat, well, God says to Avram, now I know you are a Yirei Elokim. What do you mean, now I know? Yesterday he didn't know. So Rabat says, you're right. God does not know individual future contingents, meaning something which either can be or... No, so Rabat says that the contradiction between God's not foreknowledge and human choice, he chooses human choice.
When we talk about foreknowledge, we're talking about something happening
in the future.
We're talking about the way we look at things linearly.
Oh, okay, right.
Okay, but we've already said that God doesn't work in a linear way.
That's very right.
It's not like it already happened.
Right, okay. So the Rabag, very good, but the Rabag does not make that move. In other words, the Rabag actually, it's another lecture. The Ralbag, first of all, the Ralbag does not have the idea of negative attributes like the Rambam has. The Ralbag agrees with Thomas Aquinas that it just has God is like the most perfect of everything, even in a positive level. So according to the Ralbag, you can say much more about God than you can about the Rambam. So therefore, the word knowledge, according to the Ralbag, is much more understandable with respect to God than it is according to the Rambam. Rabag rejects the Rambam's answer that we just came and talked about knowledge of God.
How could you say that God doesn't know something, though?
Okay, so that's a great question. That is why Rav Yehuda Meseleon said, don't call the Rabag's book Milchamos Hashem, call it Milchamos Im Hashem. So Rabag was obviously strongly attacked by many other figures. Let me give finally one figure that is exactly the opposite, the Rabag, Rav Chasdai Kreskas. Chasdai Kreskas, who was an important figure in helping to reconstruct the Jewish community after the 1391 pogroms, riots in Spain, he wrote a very important book called Or Hashem, which is not just a critique of the Rambam's philosophy. He realized the only way to really critique the Rambam, you're going to have to critique Aristotle, because so much of the Rambam's ideas is based on Aristotle. And lo and behold, the Rav Chasdai Kreskas came up with a lot of very trenchant criticisms of Aristotle. He points out a lot of problems of Aristotelian physics. You know, let's say, whole issue of throwing doesn't make sense according to according to Aristotle, right? If the natural state of bodies is at rest, right? So why don't you throw something when you let go? Does it keep on going? It should fall straight down. Yeah, but yeah, problems of magnetism. There are a lot of all the problems, or at least many of the problems that a lot of figures realized existed in Aristotelian physics, many of them were already sensed by Rav Chasdai Kreskas. Anyway, Rav Chasdai Kreskas, believe it or not, took the opposite extreme to the Ralbag. He was a determinist. There's a question, how much of a determinist was he? But he says, you know what? If there is a contradiction between God's foreknowledge and human free choice, I'll go with God's foreknowledge. And at one point he says, you know, we really don't have foreknowledge we don't really have free will to act. What we have, but when we do what we are just compelled to do, at least we have the free choice to do what we do, you know, in a joyful way or in a miserable way. So if a person has to eat, a cheeseburger, right? Let's say he has a title for Buzz of a Cholov, and he just does it, right? Whether it's Bsar Behema, whether it's Bsar Oak, whether it's Bsar Chaya, whatever it is. So if Chasdai Kreskas says, maybe you don't have free choice. Maybe your body is constituted that way, that's it. That's what you have to do. The only thing is, you still have the free choice to do what you are compelled to do in a joyful way or in a, you know, like...
saying it's right or saying it's wrong.
Right. Or like with the feeling you're being compelled. So here's something very interesting. After the 13th century, at least for several hundred years, like the center broke down. In other words, both Rav Sadia Gaon and the Rambam affirm God's free choice, or God's foreknowledge, and human free choice. Then afterwards, in the 14th century, you have the Ralbag going on the side of human free choice. Then you have Rav Chasdai Kreskas going on the side of God's foreknowledge and remarkably limiting human free choice. Then afterwards, let's say you get to the period of the Abarbanel, and afterwards, once again, you have other thinkers that will still affirm both. I just wanted to give this bird's eye view of four different answers to the dilemma of human free choice and God's knowledge. And I'll just close. I'm going to close with the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Hey, Halacha Hey. It says as follows. Remember, the Rambam says free choice. Ilo ha'el ha'ya gozer ala adam liyot tzadik ha'rasha. Oilo ha'ya sham dava shem moshech es adam b'ikar toldaso l'derech min ha'drachim. O l'mada min ha'mados. O dea min ha'deas. O l'maisim min ha'masim. K'mo she'bodim y'livim ha'tipshim hovrei shamayim. The astrologers. Rambam's insistence on free choice is one with his attack on the astrologers. This is the moral argument for free choice. If human beings were not free, it would be immoral for God to make commands that he knows that we cannot fulfill. You see from here that free choice is really a fundamental principle in the Torah. How dare we punish a wicked man? Beautiful. Right? So in other words, this is the Rambam's stirring declaration that from the size that the Torah itself tells us that man has free choice, but the moral basis of the Torah, which is the most perfect organization of human society, which leads to perfection of the body and perfection of the soul, also entails the notion of human free choice. Okay, we'll stop here. Okay. And this is yours?
Yeah. Okay. We got a lesson.